You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Times Higher Education Issue Review podcast for the edition covering the 25th of June to the 1st of July 2015. My name's Chris Parr. I'm joined by news editor Simon Baker and reporters Jack Grove and Chris Havergal. With membership declining, what next for university staff unions? Our cover feature sees Jack write at length about this issue, and he'll tell us more shortly. Are polytechnics on the way back, and why have some universities reacted unfavourably to suggestions that they might be? That's our splash this week, and Simon will fill us in shortly. And lecturers, are you friends with your students on Facebook? Is it a good idea? Find out how many lecturers count students among their social media friends a little later in the podcast. But first, Jack, falling membership, anti-union laws. It's a tough time for the sector's union, and you've taken a closer look for us.
Yeah, this is a feature I've written about the state of unions at the moment. And we're just coming up to the pay negotiations, the end of pay negotiations for the coming academic year. 1% has been put on the table as a final deal, and people might wonder, you know, what is the point of unions, given that they maybe not delivering as they once did, and whether the UCU, which was set up about 10 years ago, can still have the same impact that it once did. So I look at basically all the various things that unions do across the university, and it was quite surprising some of the work that they do, a lot around health and safety. Stress is becoming a big issue. Also dealing with some new problems like how technology is changing the way academics work, and things like reorganisations of where people, people's offices and how they work, how that's proving a challenge for academics, but also university unions and how they respond to management. Also looking a little bit at some of the sort of rather unflattering comments that have been around unions, and whether they are seen as a bit of an anachronism by management.
Yeah, one of those comments I noticed you refer to is by Nigel Pearcey, Dean of Swansea University School of Management. He wrote an online piece. I remember reading it quite vividly. He described trade unionists as, and I quote from your piece here, Jack, unpleasant and grubby little people distinguished only by their sad haircuts, chewed fingernails and failed careers. That's the kind of anachronism. Is that the kind of description that unionists and universities are having to contend with often, do you think?
Well, that's the problem, I think, with being a union rep, is that you're maybe not on the fast track of these people in upper management, and in a sense you have to sacrifice a little bit your own personal ambitions to support the sort of welfare of people around you. And some people, you know, can look rather sneeringly at this, but other people see the role of unionists is very positive. In fact, Teesside University, their UCU branch was telling me that they've got very good relations with management, and it's helped cut down the number of disputes and grievances and make for a much better, more effective university.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting piece, and one that we recommend you read. Page 34. The second feature this week looks at peer review. It's often thought of as ancient and unchanging, but it is neither and shouldn't be treated as a sacred cow, Eileen Fife writes this week. Back to the news section though, Simon. The splash this week looks at some universities' response to a possible expansion of vocational degree provision. It was raised in a biz consultation paper. What's it all about?
Well, basically, there's been a consultation that was launched a little while ago, I think before the election, which looked at whether there'd be a possibility of rekindling a degree awarding or a degree accrediting body that was kind of similar in scope to the one that awarded degrees for polytechnics before 1992. Mm. And the idea being that it should make it easier for FE colleges to offer HE courses where they don't have to then be involved in some sort of agreement with a university validating the degree. They could go to this national body, and that would accredit them to be able to award degrees in some way. And the consultation has just closed. That's why we're sort of kind of looking at it more closely, and it hasn't really been kind of pulled up on before. And we know that also Jo Johnson, the new higher education minister, has taken an interest in this proposal. Not surprisingly, I suppose some universities are a little bit worried about it. Mm. It would seemingly create a system maybe where you took the post-92s, the former polytechnics, and some of the vocational courses they offered and put them into more direct competition with FE colleges, where in the current system there's a little bit of situation where FE colleges, if they're offering HE, the universities that control a lot of the degrees and that they can award can sort of say which FE colleges, you know, use their degrees, and that, you know, the universities have a bit more control in that kind of relationship, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are saying that, you know, something needs to drastically be done to help FE. There was a report out yesterday, in fact, from the King's College London Policy Institute that warned that further education faced vanishing into history because of the funding crisis that it's facing at the moment. So this could be seen as a way for FE colleges maybe to kind of find a way to increase their income.
You do get a lot of people looking back though, don't you, and saying when the polytechnics were around, it was a better place for education. They knew what they were doing. They were good at what they did. Do you get the impression that Jo Johnson might be sort of leaning towards that view? Is that the kind of noises you've been hearing? I suppose we'll find out a bit later this week, won't we?
Well, I mean, it is. There is talk that Jo Johnson is about to make quite a major speech on HE. Whether it will say anything about this, we don't know. It's likely to touch on more some of the speculation there's been about a new framework for kind of teaching excellence, possibly, that was promised in the Alternative Manifesto. But I think the impression I get is that, you know, there always has been a kind of section of the Conservatives that although they've uncapped the numbers on universities, there's a section of that party that would prefer, that believes that some people don't, you know, necessarily should go to university, and that, you know, there should be opportunities for them to improve their skills in other ways. But whether you actually end up with colleges being called polytechnics again, I think that's probably a long way down the line.
Yeah. One of the things that's interesting about this story is that some of the universities, some of the post-92s, would probably feel a bit anxious about this. In part, could be a little bit to blame for this idea coming up in the first place, because these are the universities often that are accrediting the degrees being offered by the further education colleges. And if you speak to heads of further education colleges, often one of the complaints is that as FE colleges, they've got close links with employers, they want to be able to sort of turn around qualifications quickly in partnership with business and offer them. And they often complain that it takes so long to get a degree accredited by their partner HE institution, and there's a lot of wrangling over, well, yeah, you know, is this a higher education qualification? Is it academic enough? So that's probably why this has come about. And obviously, some of those universities that were doing the accreditation now might find themselves, you know, with new competitors on their doorstep.
You can read this story also, of course, on timeshighereducation.co.uk, along with that King's College Policy Unit report. We've covered that on there too. Elsewhere on the news spread, Simon, Queen Mary University of London is considering changing the status of its PhD students to employees. That's quite an interesting article.
This basically, I shouldn't say that there's a firm consideration yet. It's something that's been kind of put out there by Simon Gaskell, the principal of Queen Mary. He's suggesting, you know, maybe we should look at a model potentially where PhD students are classed as employees, a bit like the system in many other European countries, but not something that is generally the way it's done here. PhD students are students and they're classed as such. But he's suggesting that maybe, you know, if you do this, then it gets around some of the problems around the contracts that PhD students are under, and there's a lot of complaints about the teaching that they do, and they're not recognised for the teaching that they do. And obviously, they're employees; they might, you know, you may find that they're actually treated better. He obviously points out a lot of the problems that there might be around the fact that PhD students are funded by research councils sometimes, would that cause an issue? But he, you know, says that these are problems that aren't insurmountable, and this could be a quite a neat solution to some of the issues that crop up around you know, people that students that are actually effectively already on, you know, embarking on their research career and authors on papers, and he's saying that they should be treated more like early career researchers, really.
Mm, they are integral, aren't they, to the running of so many universities. Maybe if they were employees, it would make them a little bit more friendly towards their co-employees, the other lecturers. Chris brings us nicely onto your piece about Facebook. You've been looking at research that suggests half of academics count students as friends on that social networking site.
Yes, I think academics have long been occupied by the question of when their students become their friends. Is it when they go to the pub with you? Is it when they come around your house for dinner? Or is it indeed that they can't be friends with you until they've stopped being your students? Social media has put a new light on this, and the study I've been looking at looks at academics' use of Facebook and how many of them have students among their friends on the site. It's a survey of 308 academics in the US, and it found that more than half of them, about 54%, counted current or former students among their friends. There's lots of interesting detail in there about, many of them had accepted friend requests from students, but about a quarter had actually sent friend requests to students themselves. Mm. Clearly this raises a lot of questions, not least about sort of the sharing of personal information, which inevitably comes from being friends on Facebook. Again, widespread variation. About a quarter of the academics who had students as friends shared sort of very limited information, just a personal photo basically, but about half of them shared sort of family photos and personal information such as their favourite films or books, and about 28% disclosed a lot more, going as far as relationship status, religious preference and political views.
Interesting stuff. I mean, Facebook is used by academics and students all the time, though, for discussion around courses, isn't it? I mean, I suppose it might make those kind of interactions go a bit more smoothly, a bit more easily.
Yeah, I mean, what the researchers did, which was perhaps particularly interesting, was look at what academics' motivation for engaging with students on Facebook was. And it found that the academics who interacted more frequently with students felt that it would make them appear more professional to their students, also potentially more credible, approachable, and also giving the potential to get a feeling of mutual connectedness. So there's plenty of benefits there, which can benefit the students and surely the academics, you know, if it spills over into things like sort of teaching assessments and things. But clearly there are, you know, potential pitfalls of overstepping the lines of propriety and professionalism in what's, I think people would acknowledge is a much more sort of casual way of communicating. So I think a final useful piece of advice from the author, who's Susan Sarapin of Alabama's Troy University. She co-wrote it with an academic at Wisconsin La Crosse University. She says academics should never lose sight of the fact that they are the teacher and the person that they are communicating with is the student.
Yeah. I don't think I'd worry about what I was putting on Facebook. I'd worry about incidents where other people maybe tag a photo of you on Facebook that then gets shared to the people that you're friends with. But I'll not go into details about that.
Maybe those kind of departmental sort of nights down the pub and the pictures of those. Maybe they don't want to avoid tagging of them.
Yes, check your privacy standards now. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all for this issue review podcast. If you want to read any of the articles that we've discussed, you'll find them online at timeshighereducation.co.uk. You can also get us on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn and Google+, all the usual places. But that's all for this week's issue review podcast.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.